Every one of us at some time in our life have been exposed to a very volatile person. It might be an employee, it might be your mate, it might be a friend, and it might be a boss. It seems like a lot of people have a management style that operates, the more you scream at people, the better they perform. You ever been in that situation? You know the kind of person I'm talking about, the kind of person who loves to make other people's lives miserable, who loves to cuss you out, push you around, put you down, and blame you or everyone else for all the problems in the office. I don't know about you, but every job I had until this one, that's the kind of boss I had. Every single one, without exception. It was the kind of job that, quite honestly, you dread going to. You wake up every morning with a depressed, wretched, miserable feeling. You don't want to go to work, but you know you got to go to work. And you got to face that individual day after day after day. It's kind of like going to it voluntarily to a torture chamber. You know, you just kind of go. For me, the last job I had just before I went into the ministry, I had for 2.5 years, it was at a car dealership. And the service manager, I worked in the parts department. The parts department is in existence to serve the service department. That is the service manager and all of his mechanics. I have never met an individual like this man in my life. This is the individual I told you last week who had the plaque hanging on the inside of his office that says, "To err is human, to forgive is not my policy." And that's the kind of person he was. He was very volatile. For 2.5 years... not one day went by that he didn't cuss at me, yell at me, and blame me for one or another of his many problems. And after a while, working there, you know, I began to realize, Lord, I don't like this. You know, God, why me? Why do I always end up getting these kind of jobs? And like I shared with you last week, I had begun this journey in life learning that every person I come in contact with is contributing to my life. Remember I shared that with you, either refine you or affirm you? Well, this guy, all he did was refine me. But I began to dawn on me that maybe I've got a lot of rough edges. And maybe God wants to hone some of them off. So I began to ask myself, okay, Lord, I really can't just go out and get another job. I'm stuck here. So you've got to help me deal with this, or it's going to be the most pathetic life I've ever had. During the course of those 2.5 years, the Lord taught me five things. Five things I want to share with you today about dealing with an angry, overbearing boss, or dealing with any individual who's angry and overbearing. The first one is this. Don't ever take it personally. Now that's hard. That's easier said than done, isn't it? What I found happening to myself was, every single time this happened, I started to get more introspective and more introspective and more introspective and wondering, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me? Why am I making this guy's life so miserable? And it led to greater and greater discouragement, greater apprehension. I felt intimidated all the time. I felt fearful all the time. Because I was internalizing all this. I was taking this stuff right on the chin and it was really bothering me. To make matters worse, after about 4 months I was there, he hired a mechanic who was exactly like himself. And this guy would come up to the counter, both of them at once. Okay? And there's just a counter dividing me from the wolves. Me from the service department. Okay? And they would come up, stand at the counter, and slam their two arrows. Where the blankety blank is my part? I was here 1 minute ago, and I want it now. And there'd be customers. I'd be waiting on other customers. I'd be on the phone long distance. And they would actually take the phone out of my hand, slam it down on the counter, and want help right now. I have never experienced people like this in my life. Maybe some of you never have, and hope you never do. But I want to tell you, it was bad. It was really bad. And I began to just get so introspective. I take this home with me. I feel frustrated and discouraged and worthless. And one day I was reading in Proverbs, and I came across this proverb. It's a glory for a man to overlook an insult, but a fool shows his annoyance at once. And I thought to myself, okay, there's a solution here, and there's also the Lord's helping to identify my natural tendency. Maybe it's your natural tendency. My natural tendency is to be a fool, quite frankly. My natural tendency is to want to knock their stinking head off. Enough's enough. And I used to watch it happen to the guys I worked back there with. And some of them weren't as strong as I was, and I wasn't very strong. And the girls in the office used to come out to try to work over a billing and system, and they'd leave crying. And I really wanted to do some damage to these people. It was really bothering me. And I thought, all right, these guys are fools. Okay, we've got that settled, Lord. Now, it's a glory to overlook the insult. And it gave me a little insight that what I needed to do was not take it personally, but overlook it. Just simply pretend it's not there and overlook it. Which leads me to the second point, that after I got that one, God brought me to the second one, and that is, pity the person, don't punch him. Pity the person, don't punch them. You know, I don't know about you, but there's two commercials, types of commercials on TV that always get to me. They get to me emotionally. They haven't got to my pocketbook yet. Maybe someday they will. That is, first, the United Way. Have you ever noticed the United Way commercials during the NFL games? They never, ever, ever go to an old folks' home and have a football person working with old people. They never have a football person working with adults. You know why? They're always working with kids. And do you know why? Because kids tug at your heart. Because you and I view children differently than we view full-grown, responsible, no better adults. And the same is true with the Children's Fund or with the starving in Ethiopia. They usually will focus on the kids or the little children's and the little tears down their eyes, and there's a dirty face and their shirt's all ripped. Why? Because we have a greater sense of natural compassion to children than we do to people who are full grown. I've learned that just like wounds bleed red, the spirit of a man bleeds emotions. The spirit of the human being bleeds emotionally. And I began to view this individual differently. When I stopped taking it personally, I began to realize this individual is empty, lonely, foolish, hurting, and in pain. And it totally changed the way I dealt with both of these individuals, with the service manager and his head mechanic. And it was hard. But I've always been struck by Jesus. You think you've had it bad. You think you've been dealt a bitter blow. You read through the Gospel of John, or the Gospel of Matthew, or Mark, or Luke, and you find out what real pathetic human treatment is like when you read about the Lord's life. If anyone deserved a lot of honor and a lot of glory and a lot of love and attention, it was him, and he got none of those. In fact, one time, and this is one of the ones that struck me when I was going through this, he came to Jerusalem, and Jesus loved Jerusalem. His heritage was Jewish. He loved the Jews. And it says that he looked on the city and wept because he felt compassion for them. We're talking about the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, everybody who wanted to kill him, all the people who wouldn't believe in him. Everybody. He looked on them. Those that didn't appreciate him. And it says he was moved to tears. He was moved to compassion. He says, "How I've longed, O Jerusalem, to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't let me." And that struck me about the Lord. Two things about the Lord. He didn't take people personally. He learned to overlook. And he learned to see to the heart of the person. He learned to see past that crummy exterior, that often volatile exterior, and he learned and he was sympathetic with the plight of man. You know, I shared with you last week how important it is to walk in another person's shoes. Your manager just may have another manager screaming down their neck. Your manager's personal life may be falling apart and you don't know it. Oftentimes we expect more from human beings than we expect from ourselves. But be that as it may, even if we expect the same treatment, I want to let you in a little clue. Don't. Because it won't happen. You want to do to others what you want others to do to you, but don't demand that others do to you the way you want them to do to you. Because see, it doesn't work that way. Jesus never said that. He said you treat them the way you'd want to be treated. Set an example for them. Pity them. Have a sense of compassion for them because they are in pain. These two individuals' lives, occasionally this one guy, this mechanic, his wife would come in, his two children. I couldn't believe the relationship. It was pathetic. There was a couple of occasions I walked back to the back of the parts department and wept. The pain of the human experience sometimes is pretty difficult for me to handle. And even though naturally, you know, my natural tendency was just to tell this guy off, I began to realize that this individual is in a lot of pain. Which leads me to the third thing. Harshness breeds harshness. So my third point is always think before you speak. And when you speak, speak with softness, speak gently, and in a conciliatory manner. Because if you insult for insult, tit for tat, back and forth, you are going to have a mess on your hands. I have learned from Proverbs where it tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up more strife, and that a soft word breaks hard bones. That the way I respond can totally diffuse an angry individual. I've learned this with my family members, my brothers, my sisters. I've learned this with my wife. I've learned this with my employers, with friends. People are going to get angry, but how I respond is my choice. And if I choose it carefully, I can change the situation. One particular time, this guy, the service manager, came up, leaned right over the counter. He always used to smoke. He smoked about a pack every morning and a pack every afternoon. And he'd just come and he'd blow it right in your face. And I was working on something for him. I was working very hard. It's not easy to keep handles on a million parts for General Motors. It's not easy. It's difficult. And we didn't have a computerized system. We had catalogs about from this far to this far. And we only carried three lines, Cadillac and Oldsmobile. And then there's only about four different body styles. And this catalog is this big. So I was really looking diligently for this part. And he came up, stuck his face right in mine, and really laid into me. I won't imitate it. He really laid into me. Cussing and swearing at me, and he was so sick and tired of waiting. And here, you know, I didn't even have all the information. A lot of times the mechanics would come up and just go, I need this. And they'd walk away. You need to know the make, the model, the year, the engine size, transmission size, the carburation, what's stamped on the carburetor, all these kind of things. They didn't care. And I looked back at him. I didn't move. And I said, Jerry, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'll try to work on it just a little bit harder. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He's got his master's in psychology. He didn't know what to do. He just kind of looked at me, and you could tell there was much more waiting to come out. But he didn't expect that response. And he said, oh, well, thanks, Mark. And he walked away. But you know what my tendency is? Same as yours. Listen, you overgrown brat! Who do you think you are? I've been working on this for 15 minutes, and so has everybody else back here. So don't sit on it! And that's what we want to do. That's what's going through our brain, isn't it? That's what emotionally is filling, welling up inside of us. Or maybe for some of us who aren't that articulate, we just turn and walk away. Same impact, no difference. Both are wrong responses. Or we just tune them out. You're not there, Jerry. I don't see you. You don't exist. We usually deal with them four ways. We want them to disappear. We give them a piece of our mind. We ignore them. Or we wish they were like us. One of those four ways. But none of them work. Try apologizing for something you didn't do and see what happens. It's beautiful. Just beautiful. Take the blame. Who cares? I knew better. It doesn't matter. I got nothing to prove. I had nothing to prove. I knew that I was doing the very best that I could. I had nothing to prove. And yes, was it embarrassing? Certainly it was. People always would be standing around whenever he'd do this. He always waited for that moment. I knew who I was. I knew what I was trying to do. And I was trying to do my best. And believe it or not, there were times I made mistakes. And I'll tell you a little secret about that. Always make sure you admit them right away. Because especially when you work for that kind of an individual, your tendency is the Watergate cover-up. Figure a way to cover your tracks because you are going to get laid into, and you've already had, this makes up for all the times I didn't deserve it. See, we rationalize it. No, I found the best way is just to be honest. Say, hey, Jerry, I messed up. It was my fault. I wasn't thorough enough. Again, what are they going to say? Well, they may get mad, but I found seldom do they. They don't know what to say when a person doesn't fight back, when they turn the other cheek. And it starts to hone away at that relationship. The fourth thing that I found with people is show kindness to them. Show kindness in your actions. Give them something. Remember what I said, be a giver and not a taker. And serve them. Serve them. They're the last people in the world you want to serve. The last people in the world you want to be kind to. You don't want to do anything for them. But the little passage that God used to bring to my mind over and over and over again is, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Do something good. I have found that it's one of the most effective ways to deal with my negative carnal emotions. Whether it's with my wife or with whoever else, to do something immediately to serve them. To do something immediately to contribute to their success. If I don't nip it in the bud, I'm just like any other human being. It festers, resentment begins to grow, and pretty soon it comes out. One of the things I used to do, well, one day it happened kind of by accident. I went home for lunch, and after lunch, I was still hungry, and I'm a popcorn fanatic. Okay, I really like popcorn. It's got to be fresh, it's got to be hot. It's got to be the big white, not those little white kernels, but the big yellow popcorn. It's got to have real butter on it. And just the right amount of salt. And then I love it. And I can eat alone a full grocery bag full. Okay? And I have before. And so my wife made me some of this. And the aroma was just driving me crazy, you know, how popcorn is. And I thought to myself, hey, Kathy, would you do something with me? I really want to win these guys I work with. And I didn't, at the time, I didn't have a lot of money at all. But I wanted to give them something. I said, would you make me a grocery bag full of this? I'm going to take it to work. Because one of the things about mechanics, about 3 p.m, well, actually, after lunch, they're starving. They just eat lunch, they're starving. You know how men are. They're always starving. Okay? They're always hungry. So I took this, and of course the aroma, I put it right down by my heater and I'd blow the heat on it so it would keep really warm by the time I got to work. And I'd take it in and I'd open it and put it on the counter. It would just fill the place. Pretty soon all the guys would be up and they'd be taking it. Now these guys, many of them were very antagonistic to me. It was just amazing. I never quite been in a situation like it. It wasn't just they'd get angry, they'd make fun of me. I never told them anything about my faith. I never preached them. I never said a word to them. I just tried to help them. And I'd take this problem, and they'd come up, including the service manager and this other guy. And they'd come up and eat it. Oh, wow, Mark, this is really nice. This is great. Can you do this tomorrow? So the next day, so for 60 days straight, every day, my wife made this big bag of popcorn. And then I figured after 60 days, you may be getting a little tired of popcorn, you know. So we didn't do that anymore. And then I'd try to buy everybody a pop whenever I could. If I could have done it every day, I would have done it every day. Whenever this particular mechanic or even the other mechanics needed their parts, it's their responsibility to come up to the counter, ask for them, and then either wait for them or go back and come and get them. I decided I'm going to try something different, Lord. I'm going to hop over the counter and I'm going to deliver them to them. So that's what I did. I started whenever I could, whenever things weren't bottled up and I wasn't neglecting my responsibilities, I'd grab those parts, I'd take them and give them right to them, put them right on their tool chest. That's just kind of unheard of. Because, you know, it's kind of like the Justice Department, the Congress, and the FBI. Nobody wants anything to do with anybody else, and they're not going to help you out. You know how it is. No teamwork, usually, in life. That's the way it was in this situation. And I began to watch these guys soften. As I'd serve them, as I'd go out of my way, and they knew I was going out of my way, but I didn't go out of my way to let them know I was going out of my way. They just knew I was. And the fifth thing is be a peacemaker, because being a peacemaker is the powerful position in life and is also the blessed position by God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons and daughters of God." Blessed are the peacemakers. You cannot be passive and be a peacemaker. You must aggressively make peace with other people. You must be aggressive in making peace. It's so easy to not want to do it. It's so easy to want to lash out. It's so easy to want to turn evil for evil. It's so easy. Actually, we think of peace as being something passive, but it's not. We think, well, I'll just shut up. I'll just bite my tongue. That isn't making peace. Now, there may be a time to shut up. There may be a time not to say anything. But God wants you to go beyond that. He wants you to go beyond that point and actually try to be conciliatory and actually strive to build a relationship with the very person you disdain. That's making peace. That is what God did for you and I. The very people that sent Him to the cross, the very people that He died for, He went out of His way to make peace with. You know, Jesus says this about God. He said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. For He reigns on the good and the bad. For He Himself is kind and merciful to ungrateful and wicked men." We don't usually think of God that way, do we? We think of God as waiting to clobber anybody who gets out of line. Jesus had a whole different perspective about God. He was God, and He said, "For God is kind to ungrateful and wicked men, and I want you to do the same. You do this, and I can guarantee you that it will change the way you deal with people and the way they deal with you, and it will give you practical steps in how to deal with the difficult people in your life. Make sure that you don't take it personally. Have compassion on them. Pity them. See things through their perspective. Even though you don't deserve that, realize that you don't deserve that. They treat everybody that way. Speak kindly and softly. Always be conciliatory. Always be willing to take responsibility. Listen, I'll make you a promise. God will bless you. God will bless you. You'll get the promotions. You'll get the blessing in your life. You know why I know that? Because every man in all the Bible and every woman in the Bible who did this always ended up ruling the nation. David did. Esther did. Deborah did. Abigail did. Noah did. Moses did. Joseph did. Every single individual. Because God's got His eye on you. And He just wants to bless you. You do it His way, and He'll bless your life. If you don't, we just simply reap the consequences, and they aren't good, they aren't fun, to get into this massive fight every day. So you remember those five things. I appreciate you being here today. I hope you've benefited from this. I hope you take these things, apply them this week to every relationship that you have, because it will change your relationships. Next week, we're going to talk about dealing with the negative, critical, depressing person in your life. Everybody seems to have them. Everybody that I know is somebody in your life always criticizing you. Always a bummer to be around. Always negative. Everything's negative. Everything's bad. Including you. And they grumble and complain about everything. So I hope you'll join us next week. Bring your friends, because I'll tell you, like I said last week, most people's mentality is, if it wasn't for people, my life would be fine. And that's really true. So we must learn how to deal effectively with people. Let's